Good morning and welcome back to 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. Time's hit 8:30 and we just heard from a band called Look Pond, and I'm joined by Matt and Alex from the very band themselves.
Good morning.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. Thanks for coming in today. I'm really glad that bands can get up this early to represent.
It was really hard, but did it. It's cool.
How far did you have to travel to get in?
Woolloongabba.
Woolloongabba, that's not too bad.
Train's freaking packed at this hour.
Yeah, everyone's getting
commuters
up and they don't realize that, you know, you've got something really important to do. They're just, you know, trying to go
everyone's so sad and like see them all getting off at the city and they don't want to be there.
Have you ever been on the train when it's like they've gone on strike or something bad's happened on that train that you're at and everyone's had to clear off, and just the amount of negative energy that comes from it?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people deal with that pretty well though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad.
I'm glad too. Otherwise, they'd hurt
me. It'd be horrible. It'd be a riot. And how about you, Alex? Did you have much trouble?
No, I just walked here. So from Red Hill, it
just
was
cruising.
Fine.
Oh, yeah. Red Hill. I'm in awe of the people that can walk from Red Hill to anywhere. It's
pretty close.
It's just too much of a mission. No, I've done it once and I just gave up.
Like halfway, you just sat and got there.
I got someone to plod me along. Anyhow, we just heard your track, like I said. It's called Park, and it was off the Hand Clapping Records compilation Chinese Whispers. And I know that you guys have released that. Oh, Matt, you've released that on a cassette as well.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to know, with the cassettes, what appeals to you about that medium?
I think it's just the aesthetic, really, and the idea of doing a cassette when a cassette in this day isn't really practical or really convenient for anyone, and just to sort of make that extra effort to sort of just make a, you know, make this cassette. And actually, you know, they're quite good looking things. Like, they just sort of, they're fun to make, and it sort of reminds you of something that's sort of now sort of disappearing, and to sort of just sort of keep doing that even when you don't really have to, you know, with CDs and that sort of thing, and just, you know, CD burners. I think it's a good thing, you know. It's just nice.
So the cutting up the tape process was fun as well. You had to actually get into the insides?
Not really. It's just a lot of gluing and like pasting and cutting out and stuff.
But did you have to dub every single tape at once?
Yeah.
That would have took a bit of effort.
In real time,
listening
to it over and over again.
Oh, there's a
boring
thing. You just turn it down and just go do something else.
Yeah. For 7 minutes or however long the side is. So
You have to come back and switch it to side B and do that side as well.
So did the tape thing, did that come from, like you said, I mean, it come from something archaic now, but you wanted to you wanted to keep going. Like, has anyone else influenced you in that way? Like, do you get inspiration from other artists that do the tapes?
Not really, because it's not really my era. Like, me being 19, you know, but I guess just mixtapes and stuff, you know, and just, you know, what you read about, you know, other bands from like the 80s and stuff that would do that sort of DIY sort of cassette release and in the early 90s, and you know, like and your mixtapes just in general. Just I think it's just a nice thing that friends can do for each other.
Yeah, it has a very, very cool aesthetic. I noticed on that cassette and the CDR that you've also made as well, that you played all the instruments.
Yeah.
And you recorded it all yourself, but you've brought along Alex and a guy called James.
Well, he's not here today, but...
No, but he's here with us as a spirit.
Yeah, he is.
To play the live shows, and I just wondered how those guys have, like, helped bring your music to the people in a live performance.
Oh, they're pretty amazing, yeah. Like, better than anything I think I could have imagined sort of when I was actually recording the songs, you know, and in my head, it was sort of like I had an idea of like the ideal band, and I just couldn't sort of fathom actually putting it together and stuff. And then, you know, I just sort of, I don't know, just stumbled upon them, and it's been really great.
So those guys have obviously had an appeal with those tracks as well. And
I hope so, yeah.
Quite happy to play them.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing sort of being a fan of the music already and then getting the opportunity to actually try and turn it into something sort of larger than its initial, I guess, construct.
Well, now that you're a part of the band, Alex, do you have input into the creation of future songs?
I think we all pretty much take it one step at a time. I prefer to follow Matt's lead because I really like where he's taken everything up till now. And I don't know. There are one or two elements of, especially when we play live, where in the middle of a song, someone else might sort of point in a different direction, and everyone else goes there. But that's only in a few moments. Otherwise, I'd rather stick with what Matt sees the song to be.
Sounds good. So you guys just played a gig recently on the weekend.
Yeah,
a house gig.
House shows.
I think with the disappearance of venues like 610 and the Albion Peace Hall, they seem to be a vital part of like the underground music scene that happens.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you can't get your band to play at a venue, you know, just bands will take things into their own hands. You know, it's sort of, you know, it's always been going on, you know, for like 30 years now, you know, like since the Saints and that sort of thing. So, and hopefully it continues until like maybe venues are good and stuff.
Yeah, well, I found that like they're always a good laugh.
You
always no. House shows always a good laugh, and there always seems to be really good music going on. It just doesn't make sense why they can't play venues.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe they don't want to play venues, or maybe venues aren't aware of them. So
yeah, to admit, it's a lot less hassle doing a house show than trying to organize a venue and stuff. And I guess you don't have to worry about all those middleman factors. You can just
insurance
being one of them.
But you do have to sometimes deal with the fuzz.
The fuzz, yeah. I haven't had to deal with the fuzz yet. I have, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, nothing too brutal.
Do you want to just tell us a little bit then?
Or not recently. Not with like this band or anything. But yeah, it's mostly angry neighbors that you're sort of scared of the most because they can hit you and stuff like that. And turn their dogs on you.
And get you blacklisted on the rental bond authorities
list. Yeah, they have more power than the fuzz.
Yeah, the fuzz. Anyway, so we're going to hear a track now off that 3-inch CDR, and it's called Burb.
Oh, Burb.
Burb, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I've noticed that from this CDR and also from the tape, that you draw your names from like everyday things that can draw, like they're universal even though they're simple. And it's sort of, they're able to invoke an image among everyone because they're just simple, everyday things that everyone has a clue about. But that's what I'm trying to say, is that the impact it has because of that, I think, is cool.
Yeah, well, it's like, why, it's like, that's what you see, that's what you feel. It's like, why would you do anything sort of else other than that? Yeah.
And really, aren't there enough songs already about white unicorns and stuff?
Ooh, snap. So here we go. This is Burb by Luke Pond. We're joined in the studio by Matt and Alex from the very band Luke Pond, and we'll continue this interview after this excellent track. 4ZZZ.